I know exactly what you think you are. I know exactly what you think you are. You left your little notebook laying on the bar. I know exactly what you think you are. Everybody's saying that you're gonna go far. I know exactly what you think you are. I know exactly where you're going next. I know exactly where you're going.
Yes, ladies and gentlemen, finally we are back. We're in your ears, we're in your mind. And of course, my name is Joe.
And I'm Carolyn.
You guys are listening to Carolyn Joe! Hey! It's the Carolyn Joe Show. My name is Joe Carabay. I'm a filmmaker, photographer, a writer, definitely in the band Monday Mistress. But today I am a podcaster. And as always, across from me, behind this awesome soundproofing cage that we still have kept in this studio for forever, her name, and one of the greatest artists in regards to I'll ever know in my whole entire life, it's Carolyn Bilewski. How you doing, Carolyn?
Hey, guys. Yeah, it's been a while since we've done a podcast. We've got all wrapped up with New York Comic Con. We just got back from New York Comic Con, and we're back with a vengeance, like as Joe said. And we have a guest in the studio today, Megan Caulfield. Welcome.
Hey, Megan.
Hey, guys. I'm really happy to be here.
It's been a while since, like, I don't even know when I first talked to you about being on the podcast, but I was like, I need to have Megan on the podcast.
Yeah, we were trying to schedule it for a little bit there.
And also,
I'm glad
you've been here before. This is where you recorded.
I've been here a couple times. Yeah.
So the situation is still sort of the same, except now it's a longer because you're the voice of the mainly the whole AwesomeCon commercial, the 2016 AwesomeCon commercial.
Yeah, that was so cool.
I was like, we need to get Megan. Like, when we had meetings about the commercial, I was like, I know the voice. Because they wanted to go into like a female side this time, and I was like, I know the voice. Megan can rock this thing.
Wow.
So
awesome.
Yeah.
No, that was so much fun, and it was so much fun filming. That was the first thing I filmed in 2016.
Holy crap.
That was the first thing. We did it early,
yeah,
right?
It was like in January. Yeah.
That feels like yesterday at this point.
It's almost
going to
be a year.
It is.
Like at this point, even though like this year is going by really quick. But now it's cool because you're recording, but it's going to be like all about you.
Yeah, this is all about you, Megan.
What? See, I told you, I don't think we're going to fill up 50 minutes of a show about me. Like,
you
we
know
need
what?
A backup guest because it's not...
No, we'll do it.
That, to me, is such a great challenge. Because you know what? Everyone says that. Like, I can't... There's nothing for me to talk about for 50 minutes.
I'm not important enough.
And you totally missed out the fact that, like, I like talking about myself.
That's true, actually.
No, but I'd like to bring it back into you.
And now the show's about me.
Sorry,
Megan.
No.
It is Joe and Carolyn show.
But
so.
we are going to find out. I'm going to ask you a whole bunch of questions, and we're going to definitely find out more about Megan, why she has blonde hair. But first...
We need to know.
First, it's the Carolyn's news. So,
oh gosh.
Kick it, Carolyn.
Guys, coming up, we are in October already. Can you believe it?
Jeez. No.
Well, on October 29th, I'm running this blood drive that's pretty awesome. It's called Cartoonist Draw Blood. We have a lot of cartoonists this year. I'm finalizing everybody's schedules, but we have a lot. We have a lot of interest in drawing for you. So what this is, again, it's called Cartoonist Draw Blood. It's a blood drive with the American Red Cross that I've put together. This is the fourth year that I've done it, and it's really exciting. So what it is a usual blood drive. You know, we're not gonna stab you with our pens. Cartoonists are not after your blood like that. But American Red Cross and all the professionals there are taking care of all the blood donations. So what you do is you walk in, we register you, you get going on your paperwork and stuff, they schedule you, and that only takes about 5 minutes. And then the actual blood process can range anywhere between, like, let's say 7 and maybe 15 minutes, depending on how fast you bleed. And if they can find your vein, you know, it's a quick thing. It's like a 15-minute ordeal, pretty much.
Megan, do you like giving blood? Do you like blood?
Have you ever given blood?
I have given blood. Yeah, I've definitely given blood before.
Is that something you like? Do I like it?
I don't know that I like look forward to it. No,
yes,
but I like the feeling of you know helping out and giving back.
Oh, I thought you were gonna be like, I love the feeling when it just like rushes out.
No. I love needles.
I love the cookies at the end.
Yeah. Well, the cool thing is that you mentioned helping people. Every blood donation, you can save up to 3 lives.
Wow.
So it really does feel like you're a hero. Like, I've given blood before, and it does feel good, like, when you're done. You're like, yeah, I helped save someone today. And not only one person, maybe even up to 3. So, you know, depends on how much blood is needed for the person and stuff like that. But, I mean, just knowing that you saved at least one person, just from that simple, like, 10-minute thing, it's pretty amazing. So, again, this is the blood drive. We're doing it on Saturday, October 29th, 2016, from 10 a.m. to 3:30 p.m. at Seekers Church. This is right across the street from Tacoma Metro, so since it's weekend, you get free parking at Tacoma Metro, and it's Metro accessible right across the street. And if you want to schedule your appointment in advance, you can email Troy and I at this email address. It's called cartoonistsdrawblood@gmail.com. Again, that's cartoonists, with an S, drawblood@gmail.com. And we'll schedule you an appointment so you're already, you know, set for that. We got to keep the flow going. But also, if you're on the fence, walk-ins are still allowed on Saturday, October 29th. We'll let you walk right in and you can donate blood and meet all the cartoonists, which is the fun part afterwards. So you get a free sketch as a thank you. And you get to meet local cartoonists. And we have AM and PM shifts, so we're going to have all different artists there. And we have some new artists this year, so it's going to be really exciting. Probably in the next podcast, I'll be able to announce everybody's names. But we're still settling on all that. But yeah, it's going to be great. It's going to be awesome. And you can also just Google Cartoonist Draw Blood. We also have a Facebook event page. You can find out more information. But yeah, I'm really excited to, like, promote this blood drive.
You know, I'm looking forward to see if I'm actually going to survive the day before, because I have a Monday Mistress has a show at Clash Bar in New Jersey.
Oh,
that
New
ends,
Jersey.
Ends at midnight, where we're probably going to have to travel back around 1 o'clock.
Yeah.
And the blood drive starts at like, what, like 9 o'clock?
It starts at 10, but we have to be there, I think, at like 8.
Yeah.
To set up.
So another one of those great 2-hour mornings for Joe.
Yeah.
But who cares? That's how I roll.
So speaking of Monday Mistress, you do have a lot of tour dates coming up.
I do. And for some reason, at the top of my head, I completely forget all of them.
But you know what? I'll be
there
saving
for you.
You right now.
Sweet.
If you give
I can't
me
do
a
all
minute.
The promotion for the band. Let's do that.
If you give
I
me
do know there's one December 2nd, December 28th.
Just hold on
one minute. All right.
It's popping up slowly but surely.
Oh, did I send you that photo?
Yes.
Yes.
I have
that's
a photo.
That's the dream, Megan. Just have everything accessible.
I have a photo that Joe sent me of a whiteboard that has dates written on it.
Go for
it. Okay, so Monday Mistress Tour, fall 2016. So on October 22nd, you are at Fat Tuesdays in Virginia. That's right next to the comic book store.
Perfect.
For those of you in the know.
I've never played there before, so it's going to be amazing.
Yeah,
Fat Tuesdays is cool. I grew up there.
Really?
Oh.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, not at Fat Tuesdays, but
the
in
education.
Fairfax. Robinson's right around the corner from
nice.
There. That's
there
where I went
go.
To high school. That was the spot.
Yeah. And it's in a University Mall, so George Mason's right across the street. And Amazing Comic Book Shop is right in that same outlet. So that's pretty amazing. October 28th, you are at the Clash Bar in New Jersey. That's exciting to play out of state.
Yeah, that place looks awesome, too.
And who are you playing with?
No clue. Oh, the O-Matics.
Yes,
playing
you do
with the
have
O-Matics.
A clue.
Yes,
yes,
the O-Matics, the awesome band, the O-Matics.
Yes, and November 7th, you're going to be at Jammin' Java in Vienna, Virginia. Pretty cool venue. November 12th, you're going to be at Sky Stage in Maryland.
Frederick, Maryland? That's going to be cool.
I haven't been there, Sky Stage. And then December 2nd, you're at Epicure in Fairfax. So you're all over the place. Dang.
The illusion. Wait, so Megan, you went to Robinson?
Yeah, I did.
So
that means we're rivals.
I went to Lake. We both went to Lake Braddock.
What?
That's right. We can't.
Interviews like over.
Yeah.
Headphones off.
But I've always said this every single time. If I had school spirit, that would matter. I had very little school. I had no school.
Who would actually win in a fight, a ram or a brune?
What is a brune? A bear?
A bear.
A bear versus a ram?
Ooh, interesting. I don't know. I
think a bear would win, honestly.
Just like it just mauls the ram.
Bears are pretty tough.
Yeah, bears are really tough.
You know, I'm not going to lie, Megan. I've never set foot inside of Robinson.
Really?
I don't even know the colors of Robinson.
Isn't it like
gold and blue?
It's gold and blue.
I thought it was yellow and blue. And what is, I trust you more.
What is Lake Raddick?
I like gold.
Lake Raddick is
gold and purple.
So is all the schools like have gold?
Well,
what is,
I mean,
what is Fairfax?
Oh, I don't know.
I don't even know.
I don't even know what their mascot is.
I went to
what is the Fairfax mascot?
Isn't it like a patriot or something?
Fairfax
High School?
Is like the one high school that I feel like I just don't know anything about.
See, for me, like 2 years, my last 2 years, I actually did the Television Academy over in Fairfax High School. So I spent like a lot of time
So
there.
You should know what their mascot is.
Yeah, I said the Patriots.
Oh, okay. Wait, I want to look this up because for some reason
Fine,
I
go
feel
ahead.
Like... You don't seem I, like you have yeah, very much conviction
you,
around
you
that.
Guess. Really
I assume.
100%.
I know that well, Centerville's like the Cougars, right? And I think they're black and
yes.
teal.
Black and teal.
And then
and
the
teal.
Chantilly, are they the Chargers?
Maybe.
No. Chantilly Chargers.
I see like the stickers around.
Me too. I feel like I'm looking at the stickers in my mind that are on the back of people's cars.
Because I always see like... I always see like cougar gymnastics or something, and I think of like older women like doing gymnastics but trying to get pry on the young guys or something.
Wait, older women trying gymnastics? That's amazing.
I mean, you know, like that. The cougar, you know, it's like, I guess, like, I don't know what a cougar officially is, but in my mind, I feel like it's a woman that's like 10 years older than the man that she's trying to pursue. You know, like a decade in between.
I thought you had to be like over 40 to be a cougar. I don't even know why I thought that. I feel like I saw that on like a TV show that means nothing.
I feel like I want to look
like
that
a cougar
too.
I guess over 40, but I feel like they can push that a little higher now,
but
right?
I agree with like the 10 years older, like the whole sentiment is that it's like a much older woman than a younger guy.
Exactly.
So like,
so
what
if you're
it's
30
like a
30
year old
for a
20 going
year old.
After 20, could that be a cougar?
Yeah, I don't know. Good question,
but
I guess.
But only we
can decide.
Yeah, we will decide this.
We will decide this.
So, like, during high school, because I know you at this point as, like, an actress, as a host, too. Like, you do a lot of great things, and sometimes even a fashionista. But was that, were you like that in high school? What would you say you classified your social standing or group in high school, in Robinson?
My gosh. I don't know. It's hard to say because, honestly, I split high school between California and Virginia.
Okay.
So like I grew up in Fairfax and then in seventh grade moved to Southern California, Orange County, like Housewives of Orange County.
Like no doubt Orange County.
So
like lit.
Yeah. Like, amazing. Like yes. Like
was there a reason for that? Were you just like I got
my dad's job changed.
Okay.
And then it actually changed back and we moved back to Fairfax, same zip code. In Fairfax Station, and I went back to Robinson. So I started Robinson in seventh grade for like a couple months and then left.
Oh.
So I basically like dipped out for puberty and then like came back like this California. That's how my hair's blonde. You asked earlier.
Oh,
that's
awesome. It. Wait, so it wasn't blonde before that? Like before you're
No, well, I mean,
Raven
I was
hair?
Too young to like. You know, like put highlights in my hair. You
I
know.
Didn't know there was like a too young to be, I put a,
I, mean, I don't know.
I mean, sometimes
like, I don't
the parents are like, no, you're not ready for that yet. Or
something. You can't afford it. Yeah. If your parents aren't going to pay for it for you and you're like a little kid. I don't know. I guess anything goes.
I didn't really start to like experiment with my hair until like college because then you can do whatever.
Yeah. I think I was in high school a little bit. Me and my friends would like mess around.
So you were
wasn't pretty.
You were able to sort of like. Like understand like when you went to the West Coast, you felt the difference. You're like, oh, it's sort of, you know,
totally different.
What was
oh
the main
goodness.
Difference for you?
It's just such a different vibe. It's hard to put it into words. The East Coast and the West Coast, like it, and especially being on the coast in California, you know, like 10 minutes from the beach.
Yeah.
Because just living near a beach, period, is a different vibe. You know what a beach,
absolutely.
You know, vibe is like.
And I'm like anti-beach. I'm not really anti-beach.
It's like
it's
the
just
flip-flop vibe.
Were
like,
you a surfer?
I was not. I actually, like, I'm a pretty terrible swimmer. I feel like it's the one sport my parents didn't make me do when I was growing up or try. Maybe because, I don't know. Swim meets are like at 5 a.m.
Yeah, okay. They're pretty horrible.
Over the summer, but, like every morning.
And it's freezing cold.
Yeah,
but
so I'm not
drown.
A terrible swimmer. I would not drown.
Okay,
I can definitely swim laps.
Okay, yeah.
I'm just like not
that's
a strong
you,
swimmer. And the West
really
Coast,
need.
Like that Pacific Ocean is no joke. It is not, you're not like dipping in and like, you know, like you are on the East Coast in the waters where you can kind of like be more relaxed. The currents are strong and the waves are huge. It's crazy.
Well, so when you went to the West Coast, I mean, were you looking forward to that or were you sort of like, no, I don't want to.
No, of course not. I'm like in seventh grade with all my friends. Absolutely
it's a hard
not.
Year to
I
transfer.
Left like a boyfriend behind.
You
so
did?
Sad. Yeah.
That is like that's like an after school
show. Like a seventh grade like first French kiss boyfriend.
That's like the worst one, or it's the best romance at the same time. But that's like that's true like high school drama. Like I gotta
so
go.
So much drama, and then to move back. But really, what was worse was moving back in 11th grade.
Wait, so you
because
were
like
gone?
Halfway through high school because I lived out there from 7th grade to 11th grade,
whoa.
Basically. So when I came back in 11th grade, like, back to the same massive school, because it's 7th to 12th grade, as Robinson, right?
Secondary school.
Yeah, and so, it was crazy.
Did people remember you?
Absolutely.
Okay,
I mean,
that's good.
I went to Fairview, like, elementary for my, you know, all of elementary school. I had a ton of friends.
Yeah.
But did you say that?
But it was weird because I naturally, like, I had a ton of friends, but I had been gone for, what is that, 5 years?
The dynamics are so different after that.
Everything was very different after that. Like, I kind of was originally with this crew of people just because they were the ones I knew from elementary school.
Yeah.
And I don't know. And then I ended up kind of... It was weird.
So I have breaking news about the mascot of Fairfax.
Ooh, oh, you do?
Yes.
Breaking news.
So it's kind of controversial because the previous mascot of Fairfax High School was a caricature Confederate soldier known as Johnny Reb.
Is that a patriot?
Wow.
And due to complaints, and the students and the parents were all complaining, and then there was the Minority Achievement Task Force.
Minority Achievement Task Force.
Apparently, So Johnny Reb symbol was removed in 1985. So that was before you started going there. So then they had all these protests and like actually like the Fourth Circuit Court of Appeals and like all this stuff got involved. And then Johnny Reb was removed. And then the mascot was a set of crossed swords. And then it was an unusual mascot that resembled a ball of lint called the Rebel Rouser.
What?
And now, apparently, the Fairfax High School symbol is now a lion. And they also call it a lion rebel. So.
Wow, it's way off.
Yeah. I mean,
I missed it by 20 different characters.
I actually wish that I knew what the lint piece looked like.
Yeah. I want a lint piece as my mascot.
I mean, it said it resembled a ball of lint called the Rebel Rouser. Like,
what?
So, yes, we've learned something.
We've learned a lot. Thank you for that breaking update. That was, like, incredibly informative.
So, when you're on the West Coast, I mean, I've never gone to school in the West Coast at all. I mean, what did you fall in at that point? I guess you weren't swimming, but were you doing sports or were you doing acting? Or
I
whatever?
Did all sorts of different things.
Really? Okay.
First of all, if you've never been to school on the West Coast, when you walk outside of your classroom, you're outside.
What do you mean?
It's like palm trees.
Get ready to have your mind blown.
Is it like 90210?
Absolutely.
Yes. Holy, that's awesome.
And I was like in Orange County, you know, which is a really nice part of Southern California.
So literally it is like the TV show The OC.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
And Laguna Beach and all that stuff. Yes.
That's your life.
That's
your
life.
High school life.
That's life. So that's really crazy to be like outside all of the time
because
the weather's perfect there all year.
And like outdoor malls too, right?
Everything's outdoors. Yeah. Absolutely everything.
When I went to the West Coast for the very first time and it was in San Diego and I saw an outdoor mall, my mind was blown because I saw like hills above us and trees. I was like, this is the most amazing thing.
Yeah.
And I think I was like in high school at that point. And I think I felt like I was like in like, you know, 90210 or the OC. That's amazing.
Mm-hmm.
So would you classify, were you like a, I don't know, were you like a, you know, like, I don't know, like a rebellious kid or?
Ooh, it's a text message. Breaking alert. Breaking alert.
Are we allowed to read it on the air?
Breaking news.
Well, see if it's suitable.
I'm going to screen it first for sure.
Yeah, screen it and let's see if it's entertaining enough. If not.
Oh, well, this is.
It's a booty call? What?
No, it's not. It's actually from a, producer, writer, director for a music video that I'm filming next month that and I've actually never done a music video before.
You've never done a music
video? No. So we've been like playing phone tag and he's not worth calling back right now.
So breaking news.
Because we gotta talk biz.
I have some breaking more news. Breaking news.
All breaking news.
Because I was curious. I wanted to know more about the cougar.
good.
It's basically an older woman who's looking to score a much younger man. There's not really any details given about exact age, but according to Urban Dictionary, it says a 35-plus-year-old female.
Oh, okay.
Who's on the hunt for a much younger,
on the
energetic, willing to do anything male.
Wow.
Okay. I guess I like that.
I don't want to stand by that number. That number can be fussed.
I still stand by the decade.
Yeah.
Between. That's what I personally would define it as.
That's old thinking at that point, classifying it as a number.
Yeah.
Because times have changed.
Because the women are on the prowl now.
So what exactly did you, were you acting in high school? Or did you start acting after in college? How did that start?
No, I started even in elementary school.
I did the morning news for the Fairview Falcons. That's awesome.
Yep, and I did like the weather, and we would like rotate around, you know, with the different things that we did. And then all throughout middle school, high school, it was always like my elective, you know.
Sweet.
Or I would even take classes after school, and I was in the plays and for school. And
so how'd you get the bug for it then?
Do you remember how it started? I have no idea. I just always loved it. Like from
were your parents
as young
just like,
as
just
I
try
could
this.
Like possibly do it. I was Mary. My like first acting gig, I played Mary in the Church Nativity at our church in like sixth grade.
Nice.
Did you have real live animals?
Not in that one, but I've seen ones before that bring out a donkey, and it's really scary because anything could happen.
Dude, Mary's like a key role.
it's the lead.
In the universe.
Absolutely. So, I've always done it. It's always been like a passion of mine, a hobby of mine. It always will be. I feel like it's something I'll never stop doing because it's like any other hobby that people love
to
do, playing music.
So would you say you started like in theater? Is that how it was?
I think just naturally that's how you kind of learn as a child. Filming is like expensive and you know, like takes a lot of, so no, I can't say that I ever did anything really on film until I went back into it. I took a little hiatus after college. It was my elective all throughout college as well. And I worked actually on the crew on a play.
Nice.
In college. Yeah. For extra credit to like make sure I got an A in the class. I don't know why. I just really wanted to be on the set. I would have gotten an A anyways. So what were we talking about?
Well, basically like, so you've been doing like acting or performing basically since you were like a little kid.
Yeah, I guess I have.
And that's pretty awesome.
I always did like ballet, tap, and jazz when I was little. My grandmother was a Rockette on Broadway, and she owned her own dance studio. And so we were always dancing and like doing performances, I guess, since we were little. So that's cool.
Now, do you remember any like from that era, like before the film, before the college? Do you remember any like bad or embarrassing like performances? Did you have to perform like in high school in front of I guess you were in stage plays. Were you in stage plays at that point in high school? Did you do anything?
Well, like
in
middle school, I won a Rammy. You know, like a Rammy. Like before I moved, in those first 3 months before I moved to California and I started at Robinson, I was in drama class and won like a Rammy for some like short play, I guess, that I did.
That's
awesome. But isn't that the DC Area Awards?
No, Rammy is like for the Robinson Rams. Okay. It's like totally was made up by my seventh grade drama teacher.
Oh, you know,
but
I feel
it was
like there is a local, a highly, like, I don't know what it is, but it's like a local high school artistic, like, I don't know what it's called, but I thought it was called a Rammy. Like
maybe,
but I don't know.
I don't think this was that serious.
I don't know.
I won, but
I would like to correct myself that I have set foot in Robinson before, because my friend Mike was going out with a girl that was in Robinson, and they went to this I guess this thing called Mr. Robinson. Do you remember what that is? It's like sort of like the,
like Miss USA, but for guys.
For guys, So like they have like their own talent show, and they choose who's like the best guy, who's the coolest guy, or something like that.
Okay.
So you stepped foot into enemy territory.
I stepped foot in there, and I sat in their theater, and that's as much as I remember at that point.
So you guys didn't go to like football games or anything like that?
No.
I might have been to maybe one, but I don't know if it was like Robinson or something. You know, I went to, I did go to a couple games, and I did the one where like the females play. What is it? Powder Puff or something?
Powder Puff.
Yeah, I did Powder Puff.
That's cool. I did that too. I remember that.
Yeah.
But it was weird. Coming back in 11th grade, it was like, it was an odd time. But luckily, like moving back to the same area, I knew a lot of people. So it was a lot easier.
That's a good deal.
And I love Northern Virginia. Like, this is home to me. This is really where I've spent most of my life.
And that's really strange because, you know, it took me like probably several years after I graduated from VCU to be like, actually, Nova's pretty awesome. You know, and, you know, while I'm going to school down there, everyone's like, Nova's a piece of shit. The people up there are
pissed. Oh, yeah, everybody hates on everybody hates on Nova. It's kind of sad.
What is? How do you see that? Like, what's the reason for that?
I mean, I just think, to be honest with you, I think that it's a, you need to be a certain type of person to, like, prosper and thrive, not just, like, financially, but, I mean, just generally speaking as a human being.
Yeah.
In a place that's like this, that's, like, hustle and bustle and big, yeah, and spread out, and there's 8 million people.
Yeah.
Or 3 million, I don't know, fact
millions
check me.
Of people.
There's millions.
See, now
of
I have
people.
To check how many people.
No,
I don't know why
Nova.
8 came to my mind first, but no, I know that check. Like that yeah, it's several
it's a lot.
Million.
Well, you know,
yeah.
it's always
I mean,
crazy.
The traffic is bad too.
It's crazy because, like, whenever I've gone out anywhere outside of North Virginia and they talk about Northern Virginia, they always classify it as just like one look and one thing. And I always have to sort of remind them, like, you know what, North Virginia is like freaking huge. Like,
yeah,
there's still there's Leesburg, there's Warrington.
You can
Warrington.
Do anything up here.
Exactly. That's why I always thought, like, Nova would be an awesome filming location area.
Yeah.
You know, because you
yeah.
literally have everything almost in 45 minutes driving
yeah.
besides the traffic.
It's interesting that you bring up the hustle and bustle, though, because I definitely think I do have that personality that's like a, it's kind of like a go-getter, I guess,
yeah.
personality up here. And I do have that in me, but then it's funny because, like, sometimes it can be overwhelming. And I guarantee you, if I drive 45 minutes west or south from here, I'm, like, a totally different person. I'm a lot more chill. I'm still me,
yeah.
but I do there's, like, a layer that's been stripped down. Like, the Nova layer's off, and I'm just chill.
Yeah, I hear that. I totally see that. It's highly competitive, and it's hard to be here all the time. Like, I travel a lot.
Yeah.
And it makes me really appreciate this area, but it also makes me appreciate traveling and...
You
got to
get
places.
Away for a little bit.
Yeah, I don't think Northern Virginia is necessarily like a retirement destination.
I don't know about
it's
that.
It's a place to work.
Yeah,
I think it's more of a place to kind of like, yeah, build yourself and work and for sure.
Yeah.
And I feel like it's a good medium ground for like me.
But you're going to have
traveling.
Fun while you're here.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
By, no doubt about it. You have DC that's like 20 minutes away.
Yeah.
And, yeah.
I mean, literally also it's like even in 4-hour driving, you go... You go to New York. You
yeah.
Can
go to Philly.
You go to Philly.
Location-wise, it's perfect for the whole world. I feel like there's a reason that our
yeah.
nation's capital is here.
That's what I say. Yeah, exactly.
And I kind of like the power that comes with that, to be honest with you. And like just the power of this area, this bubble that we live in. You know, it doesn't act like the rest of the country. That's why when I read the news, which I keep up with a lot, it's just incredible. There's how many different, and traveling a lot, like how different the rest of our country is. Compared to Northern Virginia, I don't think.
I think
there's
so,
other
yeah.
places kind of like it, but we have a very special extra bubble layer, which is, you know, our government and our nation's capital.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I think that's cool. I like that about this area.
See, like in my head, that's why I feel like there's so many stories that can be told here, because growing up here, like I literally never even went to like Vienna, you know, then to find out about Vienna
really?
Like later on. Yeah, I never went to like Centerville. I just stayed. Because I grew up in Burke, so I stayed sort of like in the Burke Springfield side or whatever.
Yeah,
I don't
okay.
even know what the how we would classify that. I always
Springfield Mall was that was like
yeah,
the hangout.
Like
at
that
the time.
That side. So I always wonder like why don't we have like you know like in say like in Richmond or Fredericksburg there was like oh yeah that's like Northeast or something like that. Nova should have like little class like little breakdowns. I guess, maybe it does. Do you know if it does?
Well, I mean, that's like, the difference between, like, Burke, Fairfax Station, Centerville, Chantilly.
Yeah.
Like, they're already broken down. It just doesn't feel like...
There's, like, so many broken pieces of it.
There's so like, many broken pieces. You're right.
Like, just going from, like, oh, yeah, Alexandria to... I mean, but you can travel almost already, like, in an hour just in North Virginia.
Yeah.
No
well,
doubt about
yeah.
it.
Yeah. Sometimes to go, like, just two towns
just
over,
yeah,
it
just
takes
to go
an
two
hour.
Towns over.
Yeah. But no, that's cool. You imagine just like taking 50, which you got, you know, we're
yeah,
close
we're,
to
yeah.
right now, just like straight through from one into the other, and noticing all the towns you would go through. I mean,
that's legit. That's, we you can like from DC because
be a great film.
We,
just 50, Route 50.
Yeah, that'd be freaking awesome.
Yeah.
Because we've
just
taken
start,
50.
I guess where would it start and end? If that would you would consider Northern Virginia? I guess from DC,
you'd start at the Washington Monument because
yeah.
you can take 50 that would go
two
through Roslyn
there, yep.
And then literally because Carolyn and I have driven it, that'll take you all the way to Nashville.
Oh my God, really?
Yeah.
Wow, neat.
So that's like I realized that when we went to Nashville, I was like, wait, so we've just been driving straight for like 12 hours.
We live that way.
Yeah,
that's what 12 it is. Hours.
12 hours
on this
that
road
way.
That way.
It's like you pass Roanoke and all that stuff. So
that's
just,
cool.
That's what I like about it. So you didn't do anything. So like, you know, what's really amazing is that one of the things I really noticed now that like we've done the voiceover stuff and I've filmed you as a host, that you have a pretty unique voice, a voice that I like. Would you have you ever classified, like, has anyone came up to you younger, like, you have a pretty unique voice? Or did you get that somewhere and you adjusted to it? Was it a West Coast thing?
No, I don't know. I don't think I've done anything really to my voice, but I have always been, like, asked to be the one to, like, read things, narrate things,
yeah,
out loud. And so it's weird. I don't really think about it like that. Now
really?
I'm like, what is my voice sound like? I don't want to talk.
Because before you mentioned that, like, you know, you're like, you came from West Coast, California. Like, for some reason, in my head, there's a bit of that in there.
I can switch it up pretty easy. If I'm outside, if I'm in California with my friends from back then,
yeah,
visiting them, you should hear me.
You can
and the
do
way
some
that
Valley
I talk.
Girl.
I come back here, I'm like, my voice drops.
Yeah, it does. Like, it does come lower.
Like, I feel like they talk, and I speak several different languages, so I pay attention to language and accents, and I love all that stuff. And I feel like they talk like with their tongue up, higher up, and towards the front of their mouth.
What does that mean?
Yeah.
What does that even mean?
When you're like into that kind of stuff and thinking about how to make those different sounds happen,
yeah,
that's how you have to think about it. Like, and they teach you that. Spanish was my minor.
Mm-hmm.
And they teach you, when they're teaching you how to like speak a different language, they're like teaching you. I remember this one class, it was all about like the exact logistics of what your mouth and tongue and teeth and everything had to do.
Yeah.
Wow.
So anyway, you think about it like that, I'm weird.
Your friends
no way,
in California
it's awesome.
Have like a vocal fry.
Yeah. Like, they go like, they're so irritated and like agitated, and I'm just like, I don't know. What we're gonna do later. Like, I'm so agitated.
So do you go back to California and visit a lot?
I do all the time. I love it back there. Like, and I have a really special feeling when I'm there because it feels like home to me, and I feel like it always will, because I was there for like very formidable years.
Yeah.
Basically from like 12 or 13 to like 17.
Those are like developing years.
So
too.
I got my license. I learned how to California roll out there. Like, I got my license out there barely.
Nice.
Like rolling with the homies.
Like California rolling like through every stop sign, which means you don't stop all the way.
Exactly.
And so I love going back there. I still have a lot of good friends there, and try to do some business there too, just because that's obviously the entertainment capital of the world.
Yeah. So does that mean you never really, do you ever like dab into like middle America, like into Texas or whatever counts as the,
I really have not. I've
really?
Been like coast to coast girl. I don't have much experience with like the middle of our country at all.
Is that something that you're like, maybe I should try it?
Yeah,
it out.
Absolutely. Like I like to travel a lot, and even last year, I try to like think about my trips and where I want to go and where I need to go.
Yeah.
And I was like, man, there's so many places in the U.S. that I haven't been. I've never been to Texas. I've never been to Boston. I've never been to San Francisco. I mean, there's a bunch of places that I want to, you know, travel to in this country. So
I definitely vouch for everything that you said, except I don't think I've ever been to Boston.
Hmm.
I don't even know how to get to Boston.
I went there for a day for a press check, and all I really saw besides like the press check and all that was like printers and ink and all that good smelling stuff was like, I saw a skunk like on a crossing, I guess a railroad.
What?
Like, that's like what I saw
you're
out the
like,
window.
Welcome to Boston.
I was like, this is my only memory of Boston.
Did you
skunk.
Take a train there?
No, we flew.
Oh, okay.
But it was like, I don't know, it was like a one day thing. Like, you come in the morning and like approve the press check and then you leave. You know, it wasn't anything that was like, this is a vacation. Like, I really didn't see anything.
See, the only thing
besides the skunk.
I can only relate to Boston through the movie The Departed and Good Will Hunting.
Yeah.
That's how I see Boston. That's how it is, which is pretty amazing to me.
Well, we haven't seen Chicago.
Have you been to Chicago?
I haven't. No, that's another one that's
major
on the list.
So you need to knock all those places off, man. You need
to
check them off. It's like, you take your business over there.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, don't go to Chicago
totally
at this
right.
time.
What about Portland?
Haven't been. I might have been to Portland as a child. There's a lot of places that, like, our parents used to take us, travel a lot. And there's a lot of places I've been, but I don't really remember because I was too young.
So
I might have, but it doesn't count. I'm like, if I wasn't an adult, then it doesn't count.
Yeah. So where have you been?
Oh my goodness.
Tell us about your travels.
Well, I lived overseas after college in Madrid.
What?
I had an internship. Yeah, I had an internship after school, and so I traveled all over Europe. I was there for 2 years, basically.
Well, I feel like that's better than America to a certain degree. It's more visually interesting.
You were talking earlier about like getting used to Northern Virginia.
Yeah.
When I basically had an internship through JMU, and I was there for kind of like semesters. I'd come back for winter break and come back for a little bit in the summer. And I was like, what, you know, Northern Virginia compared to Madrid, Spain. Yeah. Like, come on.
Yeah.
At least, like, the history, too, because so you know history. These things have been here forever.
Yeah, it's a total...
Well, we have some
amazing.
Best Buys, so...
Yeah.
You know, like...
Some town centers.
Yeah, we have a lot of town centers.
But I spent a good amount of time traveling around Europe. I mean, it feels like I did, but in the end, just like the U.S., there's so many places I still haven't been.
Yeah.
So,
like, I definitely think Austin or anything in Texas is pretty amazing.
Yep.
I'm a big component of like Texas. I don't know why no one ever thinks that, but I think it's a pretty badass place.
I really want to go. And our film was just in the Texas Film Festival, and I couldn't go.
Oh.
Or not Texas Film Fest. I think it was the Austin.
Austin one, yeah.
Yeah, the Austin
film. That could have been your chance. Especially Austin. Austin's freaking different than all of
Texas. We were talking about going, and I just couldn't make it work.
Austin is like, you know, you talk about the bubbles. It's like its own bubble within Texas, and it's all very creative, good food.
Mm. Somehow,
filmmaking community.
You got to do some sort of push towards at least going to South By. That might be the place or the time to go.
Yeah, so what is that all about exactly?
Well, South by Southwest...
I mean, I know they do a lot of things.
In my history, or at least in my knowledge, started... Because Robert Rodriguez, are you a fan of Robert Rodriguez? He did, like, Desperado, the Sin City movies. Basically, he's, you know, like a renegade director. He has his own production down there. He quit the Directors Guild, but he's basically made Austin his hometown of this is where we make all my movies. And what that did was it facilitated that, like, now this is now a filmmaking town. So at the same time, they had South by Southwest, which was also first started as, like, a small, like, festival.
Mm-hmm.
And then throughout the years, it just, like, exploded into not just a film festival, but now it's, like, now a major, like, music festival where, like, bands are playing in every open spot possible.
Wow.
Movies are playing in every open spot possible.
They also have an interactive component.
So it's expanded so much from just a small film festival to now just this massive media gathering.
Wow.
So it's definitely a place, something at least to like, I've never been there, but I'm like, maybe I should take either my film or my band there somehow because you can do both.
And it's usually in March.
Yeah.
Okay.
That would be
a really good reason to go.
Speaking of that of filmmaking, I always like to ask the actresses or actor anyone this, like, I always think that you are basically your inspiration, your top three inspirations or your top three favorites. Who are your top three like actors that you look up to?
Well, I always Charlize Theron has always been like my go-to gut reaction to that question. I just really admire honestly, Monster was my favorite movie of hers.
Pretty amazing.
And just how she transformed herself. I'd love the opportunity to do that.
Is that something you've...
Wax off my eyebrows.
You're like, I can't wait. I can't wait until I see that description.
I can't wait to destroy myself.
I want a really good excuse to like shave my hair off. Like it's got to be a good one though.
It's like every day
not
you're like
doing that for...
like very pretty and all that, but then in reality it's like, no, I'm waiting for that part where I make myself not so great.
Well, I'm going to keep that in mind then.
Oh.
I don't really know that you want to do that, but let's put it into it. What would be the other two if you could...
Oh my goodness. I don't want to just say somebody off the top of my head. There's so many people that like I admire, but Quentin Tarantino has always been my favorite.
Yeah.
You know, filmmaker.
Carol and I were just talking about Tarantino because we're listening to the Hateful Eight soundtrack, and we were wondering like, does the new generation now even like comprehend how awesome Pulp Fiction was when it first came out? What do you think about that?
It still holds up. It's pretty cool.
I think it still does hold up. I think that,
you know. But do you think the kids now, like, understand?
Well, they're never going to have the same kind of reaction that we did because it was so, like, fresh and new for us when it first came out. And just, like, the idea of it, I think that it was, the way they were telling stories or starting to tell stories. It was really unique. So I don't know that that will come across, but I think themes from those films will come across and they'll be regarded as, you know, I guess what would we regard older films that are like classics to us?
Yeah.
You know, that's what it's going to be like to them.
That's going to be like someone's like Taxi Driver.
Yeah,
like
exactly. Exactly.
Well, there's always going to be those kids that are like super into filmmaking and they're going to know.
Oh,
about
yeah.
them. And, you know, like there's always those kids that really get engulfed in something that they love. So they'll know.
Because literally,
the important people will know.
Literally, when I was going to film school, everyone was like Tarantino. This, like, all the movies were all like so like Tarantino.
Yeah,
it was either Tarantino or about being ADD or suicide. Those are the three choices.
College themes.
I do think films go through themes over time, absolutely. And the theme right now, I feel like, is a little bit like dark. And that's probably because there's so much like crazy stuff going on in the world. But
like, I actually had to go out of my way. There's a certain point right out of film school, I had to, like, you know, because once you're out of film school, now you're competitive with like the rest of the world. You're comparing yourself. Carolyn's like, now you're against Spielberg.
The person that's sitting next to you, that's like, you know, if you're like one and two, gunning for like valedictorian of your film class or something, like that person doesn't even matter once you graduate, because it's like, well, now Spielberg is like your competition at this point. You know?
And he like came to town to like, film a movie at that time too. I was like, well, Spielberg's right there.
Yeah, I'm
everyone
like, well,
about
think
that.
About who your competition is. Yeah. The whole world now.
So I had to like because
that's
like
crazy
I was
think about it.
Yeah, I was doing like dark stuff. So, but like after that, I was like, well, the whole world's doing dark things. So, like, what can I? It took me a while to realize, like, almost like what my voice was, how to shape that. So that's always unique. Because even after that, Wes Anderson was like a big deal. People were doing like the quirky stuff. Because then, like,
yeah, quirky definitely was a thing.
Yeah,
because, I feel like that's kind of fallen by the wayside.
But remember that? You had like Wes Anderson. You even had the Napoleon Dynamite came out during that time too. It's all these
like Amelie.
Yeah,
too.
Oh,
I put that
I love
in the
quirky
category.
Do you like Amelie? Did you ever watch that?
I don't. I know. I'm not familiar with that.
Oh,
it's
my
French
God.
Movie.
I would swear to Amelie. I'll buy you Amelie. It's directed by the, I don't even know how to classify it now. I just got to give it to you. It's a great movie. Wonderfully shot. It's a French film.
You know what? I guess theme that's going on now too, along with the darkness. I feel like the post-apocalyptic thing that's been going on for a little bit, but like I still feel like it's still around.
Yeah, yeah.
See, I did when I did a film like during 2013, I made so many films, but they were all basically a response to big films. Like they had like all the superhero stuff. Everything was big budget, and I was like, screw that. I'm gonna make this movie as small as I possibly can. So that's where like one shots came from. I saw that, but just like I just tried to keep it small. Was there a certain point where like you felt like I need to just like hunt for what's not the usual Megan role? Like, did you have? Was there something you were getting used to doing?
No, I mean, I have always had that feeling. So that's not a new feeling that I want to like look at. You know, that I'm seeking that.
Yeah.
I want to do all sorts of different roles. I really do. I want to like push myself to try different things and try new things. So. When I, you know,
we need
there's
to cut
nothing
that hair.
Off, nothing off limit. I told you that was going to be for a real. That's going to
be serious. That's
going to
be serious.
That's got to be like you can buy tickets to it on Fandango.
Yeah, that shit's theatrical
you know,
release.
On your phone. Yeah,
that is potential Oscar buzzworthy performance. That is Girl with the Dragon 2, Rooney Mara level. That's what we're talking about. It had
but
to be
also,
like, that.
Like as an actress that's up and coming too, it's like you do have to keep your options open because really. When it comes down to it at this point, it's like you don't really get to pick what you're in. You don't get to pick and choose. So it's like every opportunity that comes to you, you do have to just have your mind open and consider it.
Yeah.
You know, the bad part about that, and I've DP'd so many films where I'd see like what the director is putting the actress to, and I'm reading the script. I'm like, it's not worth it. Don't do that. It's not that great, but maybe it might be, but...
No, you have to do a certain amount of screening like for yourself and who you are and your brand and what you like are, you know, what you want to work on.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So, I mean, you can definitely position yourself to do a certain type of role, but sometimes when it comes down to it, like I always picture like people in auditions, like they don't know if they're going to get it or not, but they're, you know, they're making their best attempt at it. If they get it, then that's awesome. You know, you can be on a TV show for whatever, 6 years or something.
Yeah,
absolutely.
And
yeah.
Like, but probably at the audition, they weren't like, yeah, I'm going to get this, you know, like, but then, you know, once that decision's made, like, it's like, they're good for a while.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, for, that's pretty awesome. But it's like, I always think about that though, when like in casting, it's like,
casting's crazy.
Like, yeah, it's just, I don't know. Like, what are you? Do you have any like advice for like people that are interested in?
Well, no,
doing
I completely agree with you. I completely agree with everything you just said about like needing to be open. But I think the first piece of advice and the first way to accomplish that is that you go to as many auditions as you humanly possibly can.
Mm-hmm.
Even if you know deep down it's like not something that you would likely do.
Mm-hmm.
Or maybe you know that the dates aren't even like right. I mean, you don't really want to do that and waste everybody's time. And eventually once you have established yourself, you won't want to do that anyway because you won't have time to. But if you have time to make the audition, you know, you should, because it's good practice and it's good. And I just love it. I like hadn't, for some reason, like I hadn't, you know, acted in a little while. I'd been doing more like hosting stuff, and yeah. I went on an audition and it was like amazing. I like felt like I had just gone to an acting class.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Just the real live experience of it. So I would just tell anyone that's interested, that, like, no matter what it is, especially when you're started, you should do it. I mean, use your discretion.
Yeah.
Obviously.
Yeah, it's not just like, hey, hi,
do whatever.
Take your clothes off. You know, like, we just met.
That's,
you know,
exactly,
like,
that's how, yeah.
Like, that's the, that's those usually are the ones that I'm talking are a little about. Creepy. Like,
but I mean, like, legit, you know.
Yeah. Well, also, I think from my side, yeah, it's also
obviously,
good.
Like, come on, man.
It's a good way, if you do a lot of auditions too. It's also just like, it's FaceTime. People see that you're working or that you want to be in pieces.
Yeah, and you
meet
people and you run into people that you've seen. Like, I love running into other actors that I know, because at this point, when, and in this area, and what I love about the market and like the DMV kind of area,
yeah,
is that people try to help each other out. You know, it's not a big market, so I've probably at this point get just as many kind of offers for gigs. That music video that I mm-hmm. just mentioned I was doing, that's because yeah. another actor like referred me
exactly.
to this production company. So, so yeah, that's another good point. Like another reason why you should just put yourself out there.
Yeah. And also if somebody doesn't like, you know, sign you on for that particular part that you're mm-hmm. auditioning for, they might maybe even like 2 years later being like, yeah, I remember that girl, Megan.
You're in that,
like,
database.
Yeah.
And she's perfect for this, you know?
Yeah.
So
yeah,
it gets you in.
So I got a message today asking, if I wanted to play Hillary Clinton for like an anti-Hillary commercial.
Oh my.
And then they were like, and do you have a Hillary wig? And I was like, first
yeah,
of all, no.
Let me go check my closet. Yes, I just happen to have yeah. this.
I mean, it was actually like a lot of money, like a big buyout. I don't know. And,
yeah.
And so I was like, well, first of all, I would need like a ton more information before like I could answer that question.
Yeah,
because I'm thinking like, oh, Saturday Night Live, like that girl that plays, I don't know her name, but that plays Hillary Clinton, like she's cute and fun and like funny, and like
she was in Ghostbusters.
Was it the Ghostbusters?
Yeah, yeah, I like her, and I think she does Hillary perfectly. But I mean, I don't know. I obviously would need to know some about that.
I'd like, you should know everything
I
about
feel like
it,
that's
going
to have to move
need.
Fast, though, because the election's in
they
a couple
did say
weeks.
It was going to move fast. They actually asked about if I was available tonight. And then that's when I responded, I would need so much more information.
Yeah.
And
see, that's the tough part,
and
too.
And then I never heard back. So
I feel that's
so,
also,
I mean,
that's strange.
And you have to have the wig ready to go.
They were
to
like,
go.
She's crossed off the list. She doesn't have a Hillary wig.
And,
yes.
Yeah. And she wants
run
to.
Off, you can run
what
up
is
to the
wrong
hall,
with her?
You can go to the Halloween store real quick and pick one
yeah.
up, probably.
And she wants
I mean,
to know what we're
but
doing.
But what they were willing, it was like yeah. several $1,000 buyout. You can't go to the Halloween store and get a wig for like
yeah.
$25.
Yeah.
There's, they've got to be all over the place, I would imagine.
Yeah.
But anyway, so that was interesting. That was a little interesting thing that happened in my day to day. And
that's pretty interesting.
Yeah.
Do you get a lot of emails of people like that are kind of grabby and they just like want something from you real quick?
I mean, not a lot, but there's definitely people that like if you let them will, you know, try to use
yeah.
and abuse you. Not like in a bad, just not
but
in a bad
just,
way,
just
but
that
just
they like demand like, hey, you need to do this or like, I don't know. It's just like, it seems like you might reach a level where like, if you don't have like an agent involved sometimes, like, I don't know about all that interaction, but like, I've been getting emails like that recently in the past year. And it seems like, I guess cause you know, you get more visible and stuff like that. And so
yeah.
like, like, I feel like that Hillary email was kind of like a little bit like, yeah, we need this now. And like, you must have a wig now, you know, like it's
well,
like,
well, what's interesting that you say that,
that type
is
of
that
forcefulness.
It came through someone that it's not my agent, but that represents me. If they
yeah.
find anything for me, they'll get a percentage
yeah.
of that. So he was like telling me what they were saying, and I was telling him I need that information. So I did have a third party in the middle of that
so
time. But
he
I
did like pass. He thought of you to pass it on.
Yeah, he was like, yeah, he definitely did.
Yeah.
But I don't. I mean, I don't. That doesn't happen very often. Usually, it is me in contact with everyone. And
yeah.
some people are, you know, more needy than others. But I just try to be really upfront about what I can and can't do.
Exactly.
You know?
And I like the emails, though, that just lay it out. Like,
yeah.
this is what everything you need to know. And, like, it doesn't
yeah,
leave you
really
kind of guessing to be like, what is this again?
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
I don't like when there's, like, secretive anything. It's like, oh, and then, but they try to overblow it. Like, oh, it's going to become big, but I can't tell you what it's about. You know?
Yeah.
I don't like that because that means it's bullshit.
You can't believe any of that kind of stuff.
No,
yeah,
you can't.
I've had to, like, just recently, like, have this guy being like, oh, this is what we want you to do. And then, like, I had to actually stop, and he kept sending me emails, and I had to, like, stop him and be like, okay, wait again. Wait a second. Can you start over from the very beginning? Because I have no idea what you're talking about, and I don't know who you are. Can you please just, like, introduce yourself? You know, like, like, it was, like, I didn't know who the guy was, you know? So it's like, sometimes you just got to construct an email if you want to work with somebody, just in general, not just acting or, you know, working with someone artistically, but just like say, hi, I'm so-and-so. This is what I do. This is the project that we're working on. We'd love to have you be a part of it. And here's more information about the project. Like, like who, what, when, where, why, you know, like it's
exactly.
Like, we need like the full party information for that, you know, like a birthday party or something,
some
you know,
people,
like
I feel
fill
like
in all that.
Some people I feel like just go to town on emails and text messages and are really sharing a lot more information than like anybody needs to know. They're like, well, I was having coffee and I thought that, you know, maybe later, and you're just like, get to the point.
Yeah.
Yeah.
See, like on my side, I get a lot of like, there's a lot of like name dropping. And I get really tired of that. They're like, well, you know, this big person.
Of the names usually that get dropped.
But I think that's awesome. Because, like, really, at the
end... like, that's great. Yeah. Like, I don't and know like, who that is.
But what usually happens is, like, I realize the more names that are dropped and the more bigger they try to boast it, the lower the price they're trying to pay. You're like, well, you know, this person, this person, this person. And I'm like, well, so... am I getting anything out of this?
No, I mean, honestly...
No, because Spielberg gets all the money, and then it drops down, you know? Like, you drop all those names that are recognizable.
But people that can really drop names don't drop names.
Exactly.
You know what I mean? Like, unless you're legit... unless you're dropping a name on a contract.
Yeah,
and
that's
it's
exactly.
like a name that's like... yeah, so I'm always kind of, like, off-put by that. Because, first of all, I don't know who you're talking about.
And that's good.
And second of all, anyway.
Well, I feel like when you're not a celebrity or you're not famous, if I don't know who you are. So if I don't know who the person is, then it doesn't even matter.
Or have like a reference point. I mean, yeah, anybody can be quote unquote famous if you're like trying to get something done, you know?
Yeah.
Do you know this? Who knows? But yeah.
But like at the, but I just
totally
it like I
spaced out.
People use it as like almost like a smokescreen sometimes. But also sometimes I feel like there's this, people even though like they'll say like, oh yeah, so this person that knows someone, you know, they'll do like the 7-layer dip of name dropping, and I'm like, well, you're not really even associated with what's going on. You're just using this as like a way for me to
but
do something.
Sometimes name dropping can be appropriate when they are like, here are the people that are attached to the project. Blah 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 blah.
Yeah, that's
you
what
know,
I was
then
trying
it's
to say.
Like, yeah, but if it's just like, oh, we're trying to get such and such, and then such and such. Is in touch with such and such.
You know,
but
right
it's not
away
really
when
like official,
name-dropping.
You know, like, but I don't know. There's a way to tell that it's more official than,
and logistically,
grasping.
Anytime I've worked on a project that's had a name attached to it, the only time I find out is when I see the call sheet. That's it. Or they're like behind me and I just made a fool of myself. That's pretty much it. That's pretty much it. That is the only time. I usually make a fool of myself, but that's fine by me. I mean, was there anyone that you've experienced like sort of like, I don't know, like a you know, like a big shot star moment? You're like, holy crap, I'm working with someone and I can't talk.
I have worked with some really pretty big time people. Some of which I don't know that I should name, but
I mean,
like for instance,
they don't have to be big time.
Well, I mean, for instance, I like was on Charlie Sheen's show, Anger Management, and I watched them film the first episode
on TBS.
Yep, hung out with Charlie. I mean, I don't know how more star you get than that.
I don't know. Yes, a lot of
like
and
legendary
he was like a big star, especially back then.
Legendary. Yeah. No, Anger Management. They just started filming a couple years ago. That's a show he's doing after.
Yeah. But isn't that like, you know, when he was, I guess a couple of years ago when he was doing that whole Tiger Blood thing and like he had his show going.
Well,
like
he was doing like the 2.5 Men and I think that unraveled and that's when drama went down. And then Anger Management was like his comeback series.
Okay.
And like, yeah, so that was really cool to watch them film the first episode of that.
Or what would be like the one performer, actor, anyone that you would get starstruck from? Like, if you were to look, if you were to listen to everyone.
Like, plenty of people could starstrike me.
Really?
Yeah, definitely.
But, like, you're a host, I feel like you can battle it, right?
Yeah, for sure. And but at least in, like, the first couple of seconds, minutes, as you get to know someone, like, wow, you know, like, you're meeting someone for the first time, we're like, wow. So, yeah, but then after a few minutes, you have a couple of human moments, and, like, it's over. The star strikingness is over. You know, until you see that person once again kind of getting, like, mobbed by a crowd or something like that. And then you're like, whoa. And that also will, like, is a moment that is kind of crazy.
Yeah, until it happens to you. And you're like, then it's really crazy.
Then I would imagine it'd be very crazy, yes.
I always feel, it's weird to, I'm trying to think if there's anyone that at this point that I'd be starstruck over. But it's tough.
Jack White.
Maybe
if
Jack White.
If you actually had, like, a one-on-one with Jack White. I feel like you could do it. I'm not saying you can't do it. But it's like, I feel like the first, like you said, the first couple minutes, you're like, oh my God, I'm actually talking to him. I'd be like, oh, my hero.
You, like, you know? Have me talking to Jack White? That's freaking ridiculous, you know?
You're, like, really conscious about what you're, you know, you'd be very conscious about what you want to say or what you're going to talk
and
about.
And then I'll just ruin it altogether. I'm not, like, I don't know if, like, me as a performer, I'm not really a script person. I'm an idea person. Just like, all right, just tell me an idea what to say. I'll get to those points as efficiently as possible. So if me trying to memorize or think of whatever I'm going to say just ruins
it. Well, but it also depends on how you get introduced to the person.
That's
like,
true.
I wasn't introduced to Charlie as, like, a fan. I was there because of business.
As a coworker,
Yeah, so, like, technically that was, you know, that's, like, lends to a very different set of conversations. Yeah. Then the starness is over because you're almost on the more equal level. Yeah. Like, you're not, you know, I'm not saying I'm equal to Charlie whatsoever. But
on that, on,
like,
that
just
day.
Just how you're meeting and how you're, like, getting introduced to each other. If you're just, like, a random fan that's running up to somebody, like, well, how is that a basis to start a conversation?
Exactly.
It's not really. It's just unless you're starting a conversation about you being a fan.
Yeah, you just being, all you can say in that fan moment is, like, oh, you're awesome.
Yeah, I love you.
I like you.
And then,
like,
I love this and I love this. And,
like, you really can't get far in that conversation.
Do you remember?
Yeah.
Ferris Bueller? Yeah.
It's much better to have a working relationship.
Yeah, or have some kind of reason. Yeah. You know, I used to volunteer for Youth AIDS in D.C., and Ashley Judd was their ambassador. And, you know, so I would volunteer at events, and, like, she volunteered at events, and so... Yeah, you never know.
Gave you a connection.
Mm-hmm, definitely.
Because I don't like just being a fan. I really don't. Like, I do have, like, probably 10 people that I'd be like, oh my gosh, I'm really excited to meet you. You know, like, that type of thing.
Yeah, of course.
But I don't like that type of situation. Like, I feel like I'd much rather interview them or... Sorry. You know, just I don't know what exact, because I'm not an actress per se,
like,
so
yeah,
there's not that opportunity, but if I had to interview them or just work on art project with them or something, like, that would, I would be much more, like, comfortable, whereas, like, just being like, hi, and hanging out with them for, like, 10 seconds and taking a picture with them and getting their autograph, it's like, like, I'm not a big fan of even doing that.
Yeah.
But, yeah, like... But I would love to work with, like, you know, those 10 people that are, like, in my heart. They're, like, my favorite celebrities or whatever, you know? Like, I feel like everybody has, like, a little handful of people that they geek out about.
Definitely.
So, it's fun, though. I mean, like, I just think it's fun. Like, my perspective of it is, like, from a Comic-Con perspective, it's, like, people are paying $80, even up to $100 to meet some of these celebrities.
Yeah.
And they don't get much time with them. And I'm not saying it's bad because, like, you know, the celebrities need to make money for being there. And, you know, depending on their level of stardom, they can charge astronomical amounts or they can charge $30, you know, like, so it's really interesting perspective, though, to stand in line and then pay.
Yeah.
And then you walk up to the person and, like, just say hi and then they take a picture and then you leave.
Oh,
you
know, like, I hate it.
Like, it's just like you can't really make any connection. With that
no, absolutely not. Yeah, but so at Comic-Con, do you have to basically pay, like, give them money to autograph for you?
Yeah,
so legit,
usually,
like,
have
a lot
like
times,
a handler.
Yeah, a lot
and
times
will take the money right before you.
You have, like, there's a table that's set up, right?
Yeah,
you come up to them, and then the first side is like, oh, photos all laid out, and then they have, like, the handler who's taking the money, and then you choose, and then you take a step, and then you meet the person.
Yeah,
so there's that. From, I guess, from the celebrity's perspective, there's that moment of them waiting to see what you're going
to
do.
Like, to see what picture you're going to... Like, they'll have, like, several 8x10s, like, you know, like, 5 or 6 different headshots or something that you can pick from. You know, or from like different, maybe different TV series or something.
So they know how much money the person spent they're about to take a picture with, and that might influence their treatment of that person.
Exactly.
But most of
just like a strip club.
And I've never, I've never paid for like meeting a celebrity. Not that I don't know who I would actually do that for, but it just seems not my thing, you know. But I understand like how the fans really love, like the characters, even just the characters that some of these people are playing. Like I get the love of it, but it seems odd to have that type of interaction. I feel like I wouldn't have enough time with that person to like I said, make that connection.
Right.
We want a relationship. That's what we want.
Well, and also back in the day, it used to be a much bigger deal to get a picture with these people because you didn't walk around with a camera like you do now with your phone. And so now it's a lot easier to get a picture with a celebrity too. Like, and you don't have to ask them or pay them for it.
Speaking
of
which,
if you just catch them in public.
Yeah.
The other day, apparently there was a group of hikers. And they, I guess they hiked up like Sugarloaf Mountain or something. And guess who they met at the very top?
Who?
It was Mel Gibson.
What?
And he had like a beard, like a badger. You know,
that's
he had like
awesome.
Some like a gray stripe or something, and like a full beard, like a mountain man beard. So they got a picture with Mel Gibson up on top of a mountain.
I mean, that would be like, the place.
And he was like already up there, so they're like
just hanging out,
imagining like you know, making that whole hike all the way up there, and then he's like Mel Gibson's up there. Like, it's so interesting.
That is the place to meet Mel Gibson. If I were to meet Mel Gibson.
Wow.
But he looked awesome. He looked like a mountain man or something.
Something out of like Apocalypto.
Yeah.
Did they like go back down the mountain and he stayed up there? He was like, no, no, this is my...
I got business.
This
up
is
here.
Where you meet me.
You're supposed to ask a question.
Yeah, I don't know all the details of the meeting, but I've seen the picture and it looks
that's
awesome.
That's hilarious. That's very cool.
So that's
cool.
If you ever want to meet Mel, you gotta climb some mountains.
That's the real journey, man. That's the real journey. Megan, where can everyone find you? What's your? Do you want people to find you on social media or anything like that?
No, they could find me at megancaufield.com. That's my website. That would have a link to my Facebook page and Twitter, and I think that's it. I might have a random Tumblr account out there.
A random Tumblr?
Are you on Instagram?
Which is basically whatever I post on Instagram. Yeah, I'm on Instagram too. That's the other one. Yeah, I can't remember them all. There's too many.
It's too many, but they all have your name though, right?
But they all have my name, Megan Caulfield, and yeah, absolutely. It's that's it.
That's my name.
That's the best part, man. Just having your name. Just Google my name.
Google my name.
That used to feel so weird a couple years ago. Just Google my name, but at this point, it's ownership.
It's pretty obvious.
Yeah, at this point it is. And I mean, we could Google all of our names and there'd be a bunch of different things. I think everybody has like multiple links, their picture. It's kind of scary.
Well,
I
like to control that.
Like, I don't have to announce how you find me, quite honestly. Like that was I apologize to all the listeners that you thought I didn't think you were smart enough to figure it out.
Well, the other way you can find Megan is if you climb up Sugarloaf Mountain. She's going to be making a rare appearance there next weekend.
Absolutely. With Mel. We have a picnic planned.
Yeah.
Well, thank you for being on the show.
Thank you for having
me. You were,
I had a great time.
It's over an hour, so
no
that just
way.
That's just proves
I'm
that
so important.
You have
that
so much to say.
That Joe added songs on there to make it longer.
It did. I had 15 minutes of entertainment in the background, but you have a lot. You should be on again. I think you're pretty awesome.
Oh, well, thank you.
I think the world wants to hear that voice more than 30 seconds at a time.
It was great having you.
Thank you.
So,
it was great to be here.
So, world, the show is brought to you by Stray Productions. Check them out at strayproductions.com. Check out my work, joecarabeo.com, gostray.tumblr.com. What else do I got? Oh, yeah, mondaymistress.com. And if you feel like it, one-shots.com. Check out some of my films. What do you got, Carolyn?
Well, I have a website. It is my name. It's just carolynbilevsky.com. And you can also Google me, Carolyn Bilevsky.
I was going to say, just Google us.
Just Google us.
I'm on Twitter, I'm Instagram. It's at Carolyn Bilevsky. And also, don't forget, the blood drive called Cartoonist Draw Blood is October 29th at Seekers Church. So you can email us at cartoonistdrawblood@gmail.com to get a registered time frame.
That's right. And if you didn't know, the show is on... What is it? We're still on Stitcher.
We're on Stitcher. We're on iTunes.
Wherever you find a podcast, we will be there.
We're on carolynandjoshow.com.
That's right. And right now, we're in your ears, about to leave. Thanks, Megan, for being on. You're awesome.
Thank you, guys.
And there we go. My name is Joe.
And I'm Carolyn.
I love you guys. I miss being on this podcast.
I'm feeling the love. And don't forget to never forget that you're bona fide.
That's right. Good night. Good day. See you later.